Oh, geez. Welcome back to
Wake up!
Championship Week Video Notebook. Day number, Sleeka, give me the day count.
Day number four.
Day number four. Feels like it's on day
And
number 30 already.
there's no blanket in here. There's no bed in here. I don't
No,
like
there's.
being in here.
It's a bunker. You're supposed to be bunkering down.
Why?
I don't know, because it's a bunker. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. John Sleeka there.
The
David
outer
Dorman
fur.
below him, David Griggs below me, live from the puppet bunker.
Well,
He is
we
locked
threw
in
you a
there.
bone, puppet. We threw a Game Boy in there for you. The Game Boy was nice.
This is Championship Week Video
Had no
Notebook.
batteries, but it was nice.
We are going to review everything that happened in college basketball today. If you want to know who's going to be in the tournament, though, go down there, I guess, and check out the bracket rundown we did earlier. Right? But if you want to know what happened today, this is the show to be at. And before we get to the conference tournaments, we'd like to go over a little news and notes of regular season games. And I really don't want to tonight, so why don't we just end the show? I'll pull the Band-Aid off first here. My Rutgers Scarlet Knights go to Minnesota, had the game in hand the entire way, up comfortably by 10 points until the last minute and a half when they completely choked it away and they lost on a buzzer beater. It was awful, disgusting, and actually puts this team kind of onto the bubble now, I think. Dorman, I think you still think my Knights are in, but not comfortably in.
Not correct, not safe. Need to do some, can't afford any more losses, any bad losses like tonight's was. But
It's
yes, I think you're.
Northwestern at home to end the regular season. Winning that will make up for it. Well, not.
Absolutely, and then it'll seal it, and you can breathe easy during the Big Ten tournament no matter what happens.
Real good game between Illinois and Michigan. Stalika, double overtime.
Yeah, it looked like Illinois was going to potentially have a chance at the game winner in overtime, but they were a little too unselfish and ended up getting one too many passes over and couldn't get the shot off. But fortunately, the Illini had enough in the tank to end up winning in double overtime.
Yeah, now Michigan does need more, has more work to do, definitely. Griggs, another team with more work to do. Wisconsin had a shot with Purdue at home, but could not pull it off.
That's a kind of a recurring theme for them. They have a shot to do something and then they fail to pull it off. So, but that would have been a huge win, even though it was at home. And it wasn't a bad win for Purdue either, as far as still trying to get up to the one line. So,
That was a road win for them, right?
yeah, it was against a team that's typically pretty good at home.
Dorman, one more. UCLA took care of Arizona State at home. This would have been the gravy for Arizona State, but now there comes a big one, I think, with USC over the weekend.
Yes, with that loss, now they really need this. They could get themselves, they're right on the cut line, no matter who you look at, just in or just out. So, a win in Southern Cal would be huge for them on Saturday.
As we record this, we did not quite wait for everything to go final. USC is trailing at home by about 10 points to Arizona. Assuming Arizona wins that again, makes that game even bigger between Arizona State and USC this weekend.
Yeah, it does.
Let's jump right over to the conference tournament games, though. And if I can find the screen share button, I think this is the right one. Guessing. Do we have the A-Sun semifinals on the screen?
We do.
Yes. All right. Well, it was A-Sun semifinal day, Griggs, and heck of a couple of games today.
It really was. I guess we'll start with Kennesaw. Well, the Liberty Eastern Kentucky game was Liberty was behind for most of the game, and Eastern Kentucky kind of snuck up on us. They got off to a slow start, but in the second half of conference play, really tore it up. And for a second, these two games were going on simultaneously. Kennesaw had what looked to be a comfortable lead. Lipscomb came back and tied it. And for a second, I'm like, is the championship game going to be at Eastern Kentucky? Because for a minute, it looked like it was going to be.
Yeah, it was a heck of a comeback by Lipscomb, but this time Sleeka Kennesaw actually was able to make their free throws.
Yeah, a little bit of a different story right here. They still had to survive the late Lipscomb surge right here, but at least the Owls get to host their first A-Sun championship on Sunday as a result.
And it was a heck of a
Yeah.
crowd at that Liberty game too. And Dorman, I just thought every time you turned around, I looked at back at the screen, Liberty was hitting another big three-pointer.
Yeah, it was fantastic game. And like you said, the crowd was great. Now Kennesaw State gets to host on over the weekend. I believe it's Sunday afternoon. And Liberty's had their share of opportunities at home over the course of the last 10 years on their home court to seal a tournament bid and has been pretty successful. Now Kennesaw State gets their chance, and I'm with you, Chad. This is going to be a fantastic atmosphere. I'm really excited. Best two teams in the league, and this is going to be an absolute battle.
Yeah, it was a
Another.
great first time they played. Sorry, Griggs, go ahead.
I was just going to say another piece of this story. It's probably the biggest basketball game in Kennesaw's history.
By far. Never been to the NCAA
Absolutely.
tournament before.
They
This
never,
place
yeah,
will
never been
be.
to a championship game, never played one at home.
This
So,
place is going to be
massive,
rocking,
massive
rocking
event for
Sunday.
them.
We'll preview it a bit more on Saturday night's show, but let's move on to the Patriot League quarterfinal round day. And this was an exciting day. We had a couple of games that were, well, first of all, Colgate demolished Loyola Maryland. That game was over 5 minutes in. Let me go to the bottom next, though. Lafayette jumped out huge. It was 41-18 at halftime. Lehigh
Yeah.
actually cut it down to single figures, but just couldn't quite complete the comeback.
Yeah. I kind of quit watching it because Lafayette was just blowing them out. This is one of those situations where there was so much else going on, and you kind of kept an eye on the score. Lehigh came charging back at home, but couldn't get it done. But the other two,
The other two, yeah. I was going to go dormant here on this Army BU game. Overtime, close throughout, and the Black Knights get it done.
Yes, they did. Like a great game. This was back and forth the whole way, and I'm excited. Army, we've talked about Army has a nice team, a really solid squad, but this game is in Colgate again, and Colgate is really, they don't mess around. The conference tournament was on the line today. They come right out of the gates and stomp on them. Army is going to have to play their best game of the season if they want to even be in this game on Sunday.
Salika, American and Navy. American led most of the way. Navy, though, had a chance right at the end, couldn't get the shot to fall. And we have a 1 versus 4 and a 6 versus 7 because of no reseeding.
Yeah, it was a very good defense by American on the last possession of their win at Navy right there. And Lafayette, even though their head coach, under suspension apparently, is still going to get to host their one sole Patriot League game in the semis come Sunday.
I don't think Lafayette was expected to host another game this season. I hope they didn't, put the court away or anything. But yeah, that's your second semifinal. America, the 6th seed and the 7th seed, and one of those two teams will have a chance to win it all on Wednesday night, either at Colgate or at Army. Let's go over to the Horizon League. And what a night in the
Penguin
Horizon League.
fever, penguin fever.
Griggs, let's start with Penguin Fever up against Antoine Davis, who needed 25 points to tie Pistol Pete, 26 to break the all-time NCAA scoring record. And this was a hell of a game.
Here's something that I never thought I would say. A historic evening at Youngstown, potentially, like with Antoine Davis coming within 3 points of Pistol Pete. But the other thing was that Detroit, the 8th place team, actually led for most of this game on the road. I mean, if the object was to be ahead for the most amount of time, Detroit would have won the game, or Detroit Mercy, excuse me. But what? And we've been saying this all year long. But what an atmosphere in Youngstown! It was just bonkers in there, and combined with Youngstown being the 1st place team, winning a conference tournament game, something they rarely do. Never that I recall finishing first before. And oh, yeah, you had this other storyline with Antoine Davis trying to become the all-time scoring leader. It was just phenomenal. That was probably the most incredible thing that happened all day.
And there was a really weird technical foul at the end of the game on Youngstown. Gave Antoine a pair of free throws, cut it down to three to tie Pistol Pete, and he had the three-pointer at the buzzer that I thought was going to go, even though they were down five. Didn't go, so he does finish 3 points short of the record. CBI, take this team, give him the record. Let me go.
I just want to jump in here for one. I want to know your guys' opinion on this. You watch these games tonight. The fan, it was with the fans and the gyms, and it was electric, and it was going back and forth. It was so exciting. Now they move it to a neutral site in Indianapolis.
I'm going to yawn again.
leave the games on campuses. I love what the kids and the alumni, everyone's going crazy, and they're visiting fans. It's great. Now you're going to move it to Indy, and it's going to be three quarters empty.
For the under the radar conferences, I'm absolutely with you, Dorman. I'm kind of disappointed the Big South went to a neutral site. The Ohio Valley, it's not the same. If you watch watching these games and then watching what we're going to see on Sunday in the Atlantic Sun, it's night and day. Now for your power conferences and the multi-bid leagues, play those at a neutral site because you don't really need to protect the first place team and you can still get a pretty incredible atmosphere. But it's almost a crime that Youngstown can't play another home game.
the igloo's closed.
Stalika, let me ask you about the rest of these games here. First of all, let's start with the second best one here, which was the Cleveland State Robert Morris guy. Robert Morris looked like they had this game. They were leading most of the way. Cleveland State, a big comeback to force overtime.
Yeah, unfortunately for Robert Morris, I think this would have been their first trip to the Horizon League semifinals right here. They had a history of winning road games in the Northeastern Conference, but Cleveland State, even though they don't have the same roster that Dennis Gates did last year, they still had most of his coaching style in place and were able to put together a solid defensive effort in the second half and ended up holding on in the overtime.
Yeah, the Milwaukee 17 points over Wright State. I think it was even big. It wasn't even that close. We expected something from this Wright State team. They did not show up tonight.
No.
NKU Oakland. Oakland always seemed to be like one run away from me catching up with them, but never got that. Somehow just never got that run. I kept thinking they were going to make it, and they didn't.
This is the chalkiest tournament we've seen so far. The better seed has won every single game going back to the opening round.
And this is a conference that historically has a lot of upsets as well.
Yeah.
We've seen the 10 seed in the finals in this conference tournament before.
We have, yeah.
But there we go. Monday night semifinals in Indianapolis. It was, though, also quarterfinal round day in the OVC, only two quarterfinals. And, Dorman, let's start with the first game there. Maybe it wasn't that much of a game, the SEMO Tennessee State game. Maybe we want to talk about the late game, the UT Martin Edwardsville game, actually.
Absolutely. I thought Edwardsville was in command the whole way. They were leading from the get-go. It looked like it was over. They got up like 10 or 12 midway through the second, and Tennessee Martin absolutely dominated. I don't know what the run was to end the game, but it was incredible. And Edwardsville couldn't put the ball in the basket. They couldn't get a stop, and Tennessee Martin moves on.
Well, in this game, though, the note of it, Briggs, was there was a fight in the first half, including a nasty full hand slapped across the face by an Edwardsville player against a UT Martin player. And multiple ejections as a result of it.
Yeah, so that kind of marred it. And even with that, Edwardsville was trying to stay ahead. Managed to stay ahead. It wasn't until really after the media timeout where it kind of got away with them or from them. But, God, it's late. But, yeah, just a real nasty scene. You wonder if the conference is going to react. Edwardsville has been eliminated. So, maybe they don't do anything. But, wow.
Conference Cook returning again tomorrow night here. Sleeka, semifinal day. Moorhead, SEMO, Tennessee Tech, Tennessee Martin. Who do you like?
Well, for a moment, I thought we'd potentially have two teams playing their third game in 3 days right here. I think Moorhead should have a bit of an easier matchup with SEMO playing 3-3 right here. But Tennessee Tech and Tennessee Martin could be a little more interesting right here, but I still think it's going to be chalk with Moorhead and Tech moving on to the championship game.
Yeah, I think the Tech-Martin game will be the better game of the two, but I don't know that it'll matter at the end of the day because I really like Moorhead to win this event. What else we had here? It was second round day out of 5 billion rounds of the Sun Belt Conference. Dorman, I guess it's yeah, the first game of the day actually was a South Alabama Appalachian State game. Pretty good game throughout between those two teams.
Yeah, South Alabama had a little too much in the end. But on Saturday, they will be tested. The number one seed, they will get the Southern Miss team, who really playing well down the stretch. So I expect South Alabama's happiness to end. But, yeah, it was a very solid game, and App State was definitely a game.
Yeah, and the Troy-Arkansas State game, Griggs, Arkansas State had about a 10 or 12-point lead late in this game and just decided they didn't want to score anymore.
Yeah, and I guess they just figured it had been a good year, but it was time to go home and end it.
That was it for them. And Salika, the other two games here, Georgia Southern, Louisiana Monroe was close most of the way. Georgia Southern pulled away late. But how about what the hell Texas State did to Old Dominion?
I think Texas State finally started to show some resemblance of the team last year that had a very good regular season, although they didn't necessarily follow that up in the Sun Belt Conference tournament. So I guess you could say better late than never, but I don't like their matchup against Marshall come Saturday.
Old Dominion shot the ball like they were drunk.
This was an Old Dominion team I thought could make a run in this tournament, and they did not bother showing up today at all. It was right. it was an awful effort by this team, and Texas State deservedly moving on. Next round is not until Saturday. The conference is tomorrow off. We'll preview those game a bit more tomorrow night, but. It was first round day in the Missouri Valley Conference, and wow, March Madness is normally a great tournament, but let's not ever remember today again, please.
This was one of the worst. Yeah, I mean, if you bought a full session ticket today, you should get a refund.
I don't even know, Dorman, that there's anything to discuss about these four games, other than instead, let's just go right to the previews of tomorrow's four games.
Agreed.
So what do you like tomorrow? Any upsets in terms of seedings here?
I think the Belmont-Indiana State game is up for grabs. Obviously, that's a 4-5, so I don't – you know, either way isn't a huge upset. I'll take Indiana State. Sometimes like it. I like a team sometimes to get their footing already from the previous day. They took a – you know, they're on the court. They got the shooting background. They got their legs going. It's not like the fourth night or the third night in a row. It's only the second. So I do like Indiana State to pull away there, to Indiana State to beat Belmont. The rest I like a chalk day again in the Valley. Bradley, Drake, and Southern Illinois I think are significantly better than their opponents tomorrow, and I expect them all to win.
Salika, you want to take a different opinion or you agree with him?
I'm just looking forward to the Barry Hinson Classic and the nightcap between Southern Illinois and Missouri State.
There you go.
Yeah.
Anything else, Griggs, on this conference? Or can we move on?
No, I think we can move on. Right. Dorman summed it up pretty much what I thought. And oh boy, this league.
Now there's a little bit of a hole in this next conference here. It was first out of 3 billion rounds of West Coast Conference. We are recording this a little bit early. We kind of cheated a bit. Portland did pretty much handle San Diego pretty easily. As we record this, though, Pacific is up on Pepperdine by double digits, but the game is not yet final. We'll have that finalized come tomorrow night. But I don't really know there's much to discuss about either of these two games tonight. They're both looking like blowouts, as opposed to maybe, Griggs, what do we like tomorrow in this BYU-Portland and San Francisco likely against Pacific games?
Well, that what we really like is that the winner goes on into the quarterfinals, and we like the quarterfinals.
I think we like the semifinals. I don't even know that we like the quarterfinals of this
conference. One that faces the Leica's nephew's out there. Maybe we should call him.
Sleek, yeah, get your nephew. Sure. Let's get an update.
I'm sure he'll be pulling for the Portland Pilots in this one because they seem to get up for bracketed games, just not regular season games.
Yeah. They actually did look very, very impressive tonight against the San Diego. So, you know.
Yeah, Portland, you know, if they win tomorrow, they're going to win as many games as either Gonzaga or St. Mary's in this.
That was it for today's games. But there are a few other conferences in action tomorrow, including a return to action in the Big South Conference. It is quarterfinal round day. Asheville against Charleston Southern, Upstate against Gardner-Webb, Longwood against Campbell, Radford against Winthrop. We're pulling for Longwood. We're pulling for Winthrop. We need the semifinal.
Yes, we do.
All right. Griggs, what do you like of these four games? Any upsets?
I think Winthrop gets it done over Radford. Radford had a really good year. I think they're dealing with injuries down the stretch. They haven't really been the same. So I think we're going to get our Winwood Cup in the chalk will hold in the other three games.
Really? 4-5 game, Dorman, no upset there?
I kind of like Gardner-Webb, actually, in that game. It's tight, but I like Gardner-Webb's team. I saw some things during the year where they played solid and had a nice little winning streak there. I think they move on and get Asheville in the semis.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Longwood-Campbell game is a close game. I think Longwood wins it, but I think it could be one. I like Asheville a lot, though. I don't know that the Charleston Southern's going to be able to have any chance of holding playing with them tomorrow. Stalica, we've got three conferences kicking off tomorrow that we haven't seen in action yet. First being the many-rounded Colonial Tournament with our big 2 p.m. 12-13 game between Hampton and Monmouth. Give us a couple hours of preview on Hampton-Monmouth.
Yeah, that's a far cry from the days of Monmouth back in, I think it was 2016, when they were one of the first four teams out just because they had too many Q4 losses right here. I don't even know what this would be if they were to forget it. Let's move on and just look at the Saturday games.
What's disappointing about this, and I have to say this, is that it's a 13-team conference tournament. They had a chance for a quintuple. They did.
Griggs, let me start with you. First time we looked at the tournament, who do you think wins this thing?
Hofstra. I know that, like, I know College of Charleston is a sentimental favorite. A lot of people are kind of pulling for them. They got a lot of well-deserved publicity this year. I've just liked Hofstra a little more in the past few weeks.
Dorman?
Towson.
I like them too.
I actually was going to say, you saw half my thunder. I like Towson in the finals losing to Hofstra there. I think Charleston gets knocked out of the semis. And that is the end of the discussion with them.
Yeah,
I think there is an at-large bid discussion if they lose in the finals. I don't think if they lose in the semis.
Yeah, I think Towson beats them in the semis and then loses to Hofstra. But I like the Towson pick.
Stalica,
I get a feeling that Charleston almost signed Pat Kelsey to an extension just so there wouldn't be any distractions as far as other head coaching rumors. But that being said, I still prefer Charleston to end up winning the whole tournament right here. I mean, we'll still be asking, is this the year for Towson? Is this the year for William and Mary? The answer is no.
William and Mary, no. No, I don't say anything from William and Mary. But we could discuss them tomorrow night when we preview their game, at least. It is first round day in the SoCon with Mercer against Citadel and Chattanooga against VMI. And how about Chattanooga having to play a first round game? They're normally one of the favorites in this tournament. Let's see here. Sleek, watch. Let me go Dorman with you on this one. What do you see about tomorrow's two games, other than maybe they'll be close?
VMI has been disappointing all year long. They don't really play much on the defensive end. I expect Chattanooga to move on there and get Samford on Saturday. And the other game, I agree with you, Chad, should be close. That game can go either way. I'd like to see the Citadel move on and have a little success here. Mercer, we've seen do it before, but I'd like to see a little run from the Citadel.
And who do you like to win this? I think it's a three-horse race, Furman, Samford, Greensboro, but who do you think wins it all?
I'm going with the Samford Bulldogs. Right. Yeah.
Going with Samford. Griggs, where are you going?
I'm going with Greensboro.
Greensboro. Sleeka, where are you going?
I am not going Green Eggs and Sam. I'm going Furman. They're going to make up for last year.
I'm joining Sleeka. He and I are going Furman here. I think, among other things, getting the easier route, not having to face, the tough semifinal may make them a little more rested headed for that Monday championship game. Last but not least, Summit League, first time this conference has ever had taken everybody. They did expand out to add an opening round day. It is Denver, North Dakota, Kansas City, Omaha. Griggs, how excited are you for these two games?
Very. I can hardly contain myself.
You see anything worth watching in them, or
no? Oh, I'm already like in front of the TV.
Okay, so nothing.
I think Kansas City rolls over Omaha for what it's worth, and then yeah. Denver's North Dakota. That's half of a front range game.
A front range game, North Dakota. That's part of what, the top range, the middle range.
Yeah,
I don't know what range that is. But Griggs, let me stick with you. Oral Roberts hasn't lost a Summit League game all season. Do they roll to this title?
I think they do. Maybe South Dakota State can step up on them in the final, but I don't think they can. In order for anybody to beat Oral Roberts, they'd have to have an incredible game, and ORU would have to have a below average one.
Dorman, you agree?
Yes, I do. This is the Oral Roberts Invitational.
Salika.
They sold me when they wanted a South Dakota State last Saturday. So, yes, I will also pick the Eagles to win the tournament.
And it's unanimous. We're all going Oral Roberts. Well, they're not going to be in action until Saturday.
Yeah, and it's important that Western Illinois did not get an 8 seed.
Survival board time. Woo-hoo. This is a tool we do for the selection committee where we track how many teams are left alive and how they should be categorized. And heading into the day today, we had 317 teams with a chance to win it all. We've been very slowly reducing that number. As a result of today's games, what happened? Wow. 296. We dropped under the magical 300 number. And it will actually drop to 295 as soon as the Pacific Pepperdine game goes final, actually. So if you're looking up there right now, 295, it would actually say. But what do all these different colors mean on this thing?
It is color-coded. The blue teams, the committee has to take. Like, they don't really get a choice. They need to select them.
So if I'm a committee member and I'm wondering whether or not I should take Baylor, what's the answer?
The answer is you don't have to think about it. You just have to do it.
Okay. What about the teams that are, like, in red? Like, if I'm a committee member and I'm wondering, should I take Stetson?
You should not. Because they're in red.
Okay. Even Detroit Mercy?
They're in red. They're gone.
Yeah.
You can't take
them.
They're
gone.
What if I'm a committee member, and what if Charleston does not win an auto bid, and I'm thinking about them?
Well, you can think about them, because they're in green.
Okay. So there are
those
maybe.
Are the ones that the committee – those are really the only ones they have to debate.
Okay. So if you're in green, that's your work committee. Anybody else not in green – don't have to think about it, correct?
Correct. Yeah, that's it.
All right. Then is that everything for the night, Griggs?
I believe it. Oh, yeah. No. I'm getting out of this bunker. I am getting out of the bunker.
All right.
You were so close last night.
I should have been let out last night. I got the answer right.
As a consolation present, I'll give you those 4 AA batteries for the Game Boy.
What we're doing here is
I'm playing. I don't have any hands.
Every night I'm going to pull up a pair of blind resumes. And all Griggs has to do is guess them both correctly. If you guess these two blind resumes correctly, you get out of the puppet bunker. Otherwise, it's another night in the puppet bunker, Griggs. Now, you were so close. You were so close last night. You just misnamed a team by the narrowest of margins. I think I'll give you another little hint tonight.
Okay.
These are two teams here.
This is hard, but I can't.
This might be not as hard as you think.
There's several teams, I think.
These two teams, though, Griggs, are only 8 miles apart, and heading into last season, as of the start of last season, they had never met in the NCAA tournament.
So heading into last season, they had never met.
Yes.
That insinuates that they had met, and – You know, these are not tournament teams, especially the one on the right. So this is Duke in North Carolina. Okay, they're 8 miles apart. They're not tournament teams, and they've never met, and they hadn't met in the tournament prior to last year. But they did meet last year. So there we go.
Let's find out if you're right. Are they Duke in North Carolina?
Chad Sherwood's old team
beat in the tournament last year.
I didn't say that. At the start of last year, these two teams had never met in the tournament. Still, they never met in the tournament. They're 8 miles apart, Griggs. This was a setup. This was so easy. It's Washington State and Idaho. Come on.
Hope you like the food in the bunker.
Stay in the bunker.
Chad, we Googled this. We used Google Maps. They're actually 7.7 miles apart.
I routed up.
You didn't say you were rounding up.
Well, I didn't give it completely away. let's go to final thoughts, Dorman.
I kind of gave mine away, but in some of our under the radar conferences, if there isn't a neutral site that just brings so much, like the Missouri Valley, St. Louis, it's great. A lot of the teams just hit the weekend and go to St. Louis. It's great. But some of these under the radar, bring it on campus. These tonight in Youngstown State, I just love the atmosphere. The kids were all over yelling, screaming. There was opposing fans. It was just fantastic. And then we're going to go over Saturday or Sunday, and we're going to go to Indy, and it's going to be three quarters empty and quiet till maybe the last 5 minutes. You're killing your conference on TV. It looks great when the place is rocking. Think about what Vermont does every year. Bring it to the campuses. Let the kids be in front of the students.
I agree completely.
I think you're being kind. I'll be surprised if there are 10% of the people in the Farmers Coliseum in Indianapolis. But I actually want to go back to the Missouri Valley right here. Thursday has never been the day for Arch Madness to shine. It's really more of a warm-up right here. Tomorrow is going to be where you get the main course with a Drake and Bradley both starting. You're looking at Murray State as a potential spoiler in the quarterfinal round. And I already teased the Barry Hinson Classic between SIU and Missouri State right here.
Yeah.
The only thing I'm not going to like are all the commercials for Cardinals baseball. That's just too much for this Reds fan right here.
Hinson should be on the TV call.
Greg, do you want to finish us off?
I'm actually going to just sort of echo Dorman's final thought and add to it something else he didn't say about campus sites that we all love, especially doing the weekly under the radar shows, is the stakes that it adds to the regular season. How much fun was the America East, the Northeast, the Patriot League, all those leagues? I mean, I know I'm leaving several out where home court advantage was on the line in the regular season. So, yeah, I'm all about it. The one thing about the Valley is that, at least for a stretch and for several years, I would think that it was very common, in fact, probably happening more often than not, to where their first place team was inside the bubble anyway. So,
okay. Yeah. I guess on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. We'll be back again at some ungodly hour tomorrow night with another one of these. But on behalf of John Salica, David Dorman, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. Everyone, it's still safe to go outside in the streets. The puppet is still locked in the bunker. Have a great night, everyone.